I thought he was having trouble remembering that name. You know, it might be something we have trouble with. I hope you all had a very wonderful and enjoyable week. It's nice last night. We were sitting at the table eating supper, and the moon came up in the east. Big full moon. At least it looked full. Maybe it wasn't full moon, but I didn't look, but it looked full. We had a very busy week, and I'm sure probably you had as well. I'd like to turn to Matthew 24, and we'll read a little bit there in verse 4 and 5. Christ gives a warning, and then we'll look at other numerous places within the scriptures where there's warnings given. In Matthew 24, Christ was speaking. His disciples asked when the end would come and what would be the signs of it. One of the things that he states here is in Matthew 24, and we'll start in verse 4 and 5. It says, "Take heed that no one deceives you." And verse 5, it says, "For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many." So deception would become a problem after he was gone and throughout the ages till he returned the second time. Let's go to Acts 20. Acts 20, something else was stated here by Paul. Paul had a fear, and he wrote about it in Acts 20, verse 28. Turn to Acts 20 and verse 28. Notice Paul states here, "There take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." So there was something there you need to be careful of. "For I know this," Paul says, "that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Also from among yourselves, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves." Verse 31, "Therefore watch and remember that for 3 years I did not cease to warn everyone night and day with tears." So Paul was giving a warning there too. He was speaking, he was concerned. He had felt that there was going to be some great troubles going to stir up, and there would be wolves and even come from within the church itself, the body of the church. 2 Corinthians, he tells us a little bit more about that. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. 2 Corinthians 11, 13 through 15. Notice what Paul says here. He says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. No wonder, for Satan himself transformed himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." So Paul was concerned. He was saying there was deceptions coming within the church. When he was on the earth, he could see things that weren't correct. They weren't following what Christ had taught them, and he was concerned for them. In 2 Timothy 4 in verse 2, he tells Timothy a similar statement. So there must have been something going on. Something drastically was taking place. Paul seen it was coming. Christ talked about it when he was on the earth before he was crucified. 2 Timothy 4 verse 2 to 4. 2 Timothy 4 verse 2 to 4. Notice what he says here to Timothy: "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long sufferings and teachings." So he said, teach it. Continue to teach it. Be willing to tell it to others as they ask questions. And verse 3, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers." And verse 4, "And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. So he wanted them to know more. They wanted to know more. They had itching ears, it says. That's what they wanted. They wanted to know more. Sometimes, if you search the scripture, God doesn't tell us anymore. He only tells us certain things that are a necessity for us to have salvation and to understand as much as he wants to reveal to us at this time. Some things they're not revealed to us, He will reveal to us probably when we're spirit beings. And we'd like to know more. Sometimes itching ears, he's saying, Paul is saying that itching ears can cause us to get into trouble. And God doesn't tell us everything. If he didn't tell us, perhaps it's not important for what he wants us to know, to build the character he wants at this time. So we have to be careful of always searching sometimes when the scripture don't tell us anymore, and then we come up with our own ideas, which aren't founded in the scriptures. 2 Peter 2, verse 1 to 2. Peter talked about it too. So there was something going on within the New Testament church. 2 Timothy 2, all of the different ones talk about it. Paul talked about it. Peter talked about it. Christ talked about it. So we'll look at 2 Peter 2, verse 1 and 2. He says, therefore, lay aside all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking. So all those are subjects on themselves. As newborn babes desire pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. I'm in the wrong 2 Peter. It's 2 Peter 2, verse 1 and 2. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in deceptive hearsays, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. So false teachers would come, and they would teach, and people would fall for their deception. After all, Satan is, he transformed himself into a person of light. So false teachers, if they were teaching after Satan's ideas, they would look right, but they weren't. In 1 John, even 1 John, and John says it in 1 John 2, 18 to 19. 1 John 2, 18 and 19. First John 2, 18 and 19 says, little children, he says to them, he was an older, by this time John was up in age, probably in his 80s, maybe 90s. Little children, it is the last hour, and as you have heard, that the Antichrist is coming. Even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour. And then he says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifested that none of them were of us. Then drop down to verse 26. These things I write to you concerning those who try to deceive you. So the same thing. Something's happening within the New Testament church. There's deception. And by the late, when you read about it, you'll see that by the late first century, 90 AD to 100 AD, different things had crept in. There were some ideas that Christ was not God. He wasn't God. There was also deceptions that came in of he was just a man. And in 3 John 9, let's go to 3 John 9 and 9 through 11. Just turn over a few pages, 3 John 9 through 11. It says, John writes again, he says, I write to the church, 3 John 9 through 11. I write to the church, but, and then it says, Dorpheus, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. So he's writing to the church, and this gentleman who was in charge of this local church wouldn't even consider what John was writing. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, practicing against us with malice words. So he says things that aren't true. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren. And forbids those who wish to, and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. So you see another deception here that was happening just with John as in the later part of his life. One of the big deceptions was who was Jesus Christ? Was he just a man? Was he God appearing as a man? Was he just an illusion? Was he a mere man who became God? Was he created by God the Father? Or did he exist eternally with the Father and become flesh to be the Redeemer for all mankind? Today, the question I have for you, these questions we will take a look at today, who and what was Jesus Christ? How does God reveal himself as to mankind? And if we won't go into a big discussion of that, but we've come to the conclusion that the Bible, God's Word, describes God reveals himself through his Word, the Bible. God's Word tells us to the answer to our questions about Jesus Christ. Let's start in Isaiah 46, verse 9 and 10. Isaiah 46, 9 and 10. Isaiah 46, verse 9 through 10. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, and there is no other, God says. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done. Saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasures. So God says he's the one. He's in control of everything. He can prophesy and tell the future, and he can bring it to pass. He is God. God can foretell the future and bring it to pass. In Genesis 1:26, you don't have to turn there. You all know what that says. We know that man was made in God's image. Let's go to John 1, verse 1 through 5. You probably have this one memorized as well. This tells us something about Jesus Christ. John 1, 1 through 5. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So there's that statement there makes it quite plain that Jesus Christ was with God from the beginning. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. So we see that he was the creator. And without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shined in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. So let's drop down to verse 10. We'll see a little bit more. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. And then let's drop down to verse 14. It says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So it tells us that the Word who became Jesus Christ, the Messiah for all mankind. He was physically like us, since we were made in God's image. Yet he reflected God the Father and all his nature and all his character. And he was God at one time, before he was a physical human being. Now we'll look at some characteristics about Jesus Christ. One of them is he was a rock. He mentions that in Deuteronomy 32, verse 1 to 4. And we'll see then how that relates back to the New Testament when he was on earth. Deuteronomy 32, 1 to 4. In Deuteronomy, verse 32, 1 to 4. This was a song that Moses wrote. And he's talking about God. And more than likely, God gave him the words because they're very powerful words. Listen to what is written. In Deuteronomy 32, verse 1. Give ear, O heavens, and I will speak. And hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let my teachings drop as the rain, my speech distill as the dew, as raindrops on the tender herb, and as showers on the grass. For I proclaim the name of the Eternal. Ascribe great greatness to our God. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are justice, a God of truth and without injustice. Righteous and upright is he. And then it goes on, talks about the children of Israel, how they corrupted themselves and so forth. We see that this is referring to a rock. He was a rock. Let's go to Psalms 18. We'll see more about that rock. Psalms 18, verse 1 and 2. Psalm 18, verse 1 and 2. It says, I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, David writes. and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, and my stronghold." So here it shows again that who the rock was. The rock was the God that David was praying to and showing respect and gave him all the blessings that he had, made him king and so forth. He was the rock. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 to 4. Look what Paul says about that rock. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 to 4. Paul's talking about Israel when they were in the wilderness and so forth. And he makes this statement in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1 to 4. "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea." So that was referring to when the children of Israel came out of Egypt. They were under the cloud by day and they passed through the Red Sea, all of them. Verse 2. "All were baptized in Moses in the cloud and in the sea." So when they went through the Red Sea, that was figuratively like being baptized. Verse 3. "All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." So Paul made it very clean. The rock became Jesus Christ. He became the Redeemer and the Messiah. Jesus was the one who spoke to Moses. And if you remember, Ken talked about the burning bush. Or he didn't talk about it, but he said about where he comes to. Right after that, he says, who should you say I am? He says, my name is I am who I am. And Jesus was the one who caused the plagues on Egypt. He was the one who led Israel out of Egypt. He was with them when they wandered for 40 years. He was a lawgiver. He gave the Ten Commandments and numerous other laws. He dealt with Israel throughout their history. Yes, Jesus Christ is the Lord spoken of often, so often in the Old Testament. He was their rock. John tells us something else about Jesus Christ. Let's go to Revelation 3:14. Revelation 3 and verse 14. "And to the angel of the church of Laodicea, write these things." And then notice what it says. "Say this, Amen, the faithful and the true witness and the beginning of creation of God." These are all describing that Jesus Christ was the creator. In John 1, let's go to John 1, verse 1 and 5. We read that already, but we'll just review something there quickly. That's when he's talked about the Word. It repeats the same thing that I just read there. We'll just skim it quickly. You'll probably remember it. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And then verse 14, it says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us." And also it says that he was the one that made the He was in the beginning, and all things in verse 3 were made through him, and without him nothing was made. So it shows that the relationship, again, that God was Jesus Christ, who became Jesus Christ, the God of the Old Testament, was the creator. Let's go to Ephesians 3 and verse 9. Ephesians 3, verse 9. And Paul writes this about that, Ephesians 3, verse 9. "And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ." So in the New Testament church, they were understanding that Jesus Christ was the God of the Old Testament. Verse 10. "To the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known by the church, for the principalities and powers in heaven and heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord." And verse 12, "In whom we have behold and access with confidence through faith in him." So since Jesus was, since we see that Jesus was the creator of all things, he created man, and he is the only one who can be our redeemer. If he created us, he was the only one that could become our redeemer. He paid the penalty for all mankind's sins. Look what Peter says in Acts 4, verse 10. Acts 4, verse 10 through 12. Acts 4, 10 through 12. It says, "Let it be known to you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is a stone which was rejected by the builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." So Peter, it's only through Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, can any of us be saved. And it's showing that also that he was the creator of all of us. He was the God of the Old Testament. He was the one that was responsible for creating the universe and all of the attributes about that. He was the one that led Israel out of Egypt. Let's go to Colossians 1. Paul talks a little more about that. Colossians 1, verse 15. He is the, Colossians 1, verse 15 through 18. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that all things he may have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, and by him to reconcile all things to him by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, have made peace through the blood of his cross. And you can keep reading, but it's showing. Paul tells us Christ created the heavens and the earth, all we see and don't see. So all that DNA they're studying now, he created that as well. Many things that are spiritual things or things that we can't see, he's done that as well. He created all the heavens. He created the angelic host. He created all the things that we see and don't see. He created the universe. Jesus Christ is our creator. In Hebrews 1, 1-3, Paul tells us something else that he did when after he created, something else he does. Hebrews 1 and 1-3. Says Hebrews 1, 1-3, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and expressed image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by him purged out sin, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So God, not only does he create it all, but he's sustaining it as well. He keeps everything in its perfect place. So like the earth, if it would tilt, they say if it tilted off its axis a couple degrees, we'd all be one way or the other, get too hot, get too cold, environment wouldn't produce food, we'd all starve to death or whatever. So God maintains it, Christ through Christ, who was the creator. When Jesus Christ was on the earth, did he claim he was God? Let's look at scriptures where he did. Let's look at John 10, verse 11. That's why he got in so much trouble with the Pharisees. They didn't want to believe he was God. They were about ready to stone him numerous times for the statements that he makes. So in John 10, verse 11 is one of those times. John 10, verse 11. Oh, I was ahead of myself. This is a different one. We'll get to that in a minute. John 10, verse 11. This is where he's classified as the good shepherd. John 10, verse 11. It says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Then it goes on and tells you about the hirelings. They don't. The hirelings will flee and so forth. So you can read in 12, 13. And verse 15, as the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and they will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. So the key I wanted to go to in verse 11 is, I am the good shepherd. David talked about him being the great shepherd too, to him. You can read that in Psalms 23, from back there. Most of you have that one memorized. They use that one a lot at funerals. Matthew 23. Notice, I'll just read the first verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. So David went back and said that the Lord was his shepherd, and we see that Christ referred to himself as a shepherd. In Matthew 5, verse 22, he went to a viewing this week of Joyce St. John's mother passed away. She was just got ill after the feast, and she had, 100 grandchildren, great-grandchildren, 100 great-grandchildren. I forget, she had 12 children and three sets of twins. And if you would have seen her statued, you would have think, how could a little lady like that have that many children? She was, I don't think it was much taller than my wife, 4'11" or something. But she had 12 children, and I don't remember how many grandchildren, but there was numerous of them. But I remember there was 100 great-grandchildren. So that was something. But yeah, it was very interesting to go to this Brethren church. I don't know if that's where she went or not, but they sang all kinds of hymns that related to the fact that it had nothing to do with her looking for the kingdom or anything like that. She was to be in heaven. That's a whole different subject. Anyhow, the 23rd Psalm, maybe refer back to that. Sorry, I got off the track. Anyhow, John 5, verse 22, look what it says here. For the Father judges no one. For the Father, that's right. This is talking about judgment, so that's right. John 5, verse 22. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgments to his Son. And you'll see that Jesus Christ, who he's first showing to that he is God, because he's the one that's going to judge all mankind, each individual, as well as nations. Let's go back to Joel 3, and we'll see that revealed in Joel 3 in the prophecies. Joel 3, verse 1 to 3. Joel 3. Joel 3 and verse 1 to 3. So it's, see, I better tell you where it's at. Hosea, Joel, Amos. That probably helps you all out, right? There you go. Joel 3, verse 1 to 3. For behold, in those days and at that time, when I bring back the captains of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all the nations and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. And I will enter into judgment with them there, on account of my people, my inheritance, Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations. They have also divided up my land. They have cast lots for my people, have given a boy as a payment for a harlot, and sold a girl for wine, that they may drink. So in verse 2 it says, I will gather all nations, and he's referring to Jesus Christ, who is the God of the Old Testament, and bring them down to the valley of Jehoshaphat. I ran into judgment with them there on account of my people. So he's going to judge the people. He's the judge. He will judge all nations. You can look up other scriptures to make that even more plainer, but we won't go into that now. Let's go back to John 8, verse 12. But he is going to be the judge. We're going to come before him. It says even in Revelations where at the end we'll give account for each of the words that we speak. He's going to ask us. So he is the judge. John 8 verse 12. John 8 and verse 12, it says, Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. So he's described as a light. And David talked about a light, that he was a light, in Psalm 27, verse 1. Let's go back to Psalm 27, verse 1. Numerous other places as well. We'll just look at this one. David talks about it in Psalm 27 and verse 1. The Lord is my light, David says, and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And then he goes on and says, When the wicked come against me, shall I be afraid then, or so forth. But really, it's in the first verse there, it says, The Lord is my life. So God, Jesus Christ, was a light to the world. And he was a light back then to David, referring back that he was the one who created. He was the God being. He was the one that talked to them. In John 17:5, notice what he writes right before he's going to be crucified. Christ wrote. John 17, verse 5. They're coming to, he's, I believe this is where he's praying. Yes, we'll start in verse 1, John 17, verse 1. Jesus said, spoke these words, lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come, glorify your Son, and your Son also may glorify you, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. So he says that's why he came. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished a work which you have given me to do. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself and with the glory which I had when you, with you before the world was. So he was asking, that's what he's asking his Father. Restore me back to where I was. Bring me back and be with me and bring me back. He says, I'll read it again, verse 5. And now, O Father, glorify me together with yourself with the glory which I had with you before the world was, bringing back and where he was, the power and the majesty that he has. He was God, and he was asking his Father to restore him. In the prayer to the Father before he was put to death, he asked that his Father would restore him back to his glory. That's the word I was looking for, glory. Back to his glory, where he was. And he prayed to him that. Notice that did take place in Revelation 1, verse 17. We know other places, but in Revelation 1, when he talks to John, he says it. John, Revelation 1, 17 and 18. Says, The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place, and he sent to signify it by his angels to his servant John. So that's who he's talking to. Let's read verse 17 then. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet, John says. But he laid his right hand on me and said to me, Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forever. Amen. I have the keys of the Hades, which is a grave, and of death. So he was glorified. He is back to his glorified state again. He was the God of the Old Testament. He was the God of the New Testament now. He's also the Savior and Redeemer of all mankind when he was here. But he is back to his glory. That's what he revealed that to John. Now we'll go to look how he answered when the Pharisees asked him questions. When they came to arrest him, let's look at what he says to them there in John 18, verse 4. John 18, verse 4. course, Judas comes up, and he was going to show that who he was by giving him a kiss, and to betray and say who Jesus was. So apparently they couldn't recognize him, and even at that point, they still couldn't recognize him. Somebody had to point him out. So he looked so common to everyone around him. In John 18, verse 4, and we'll go to verse 9. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things, well, let's read that in verse 2. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Jesus, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Verse 4, Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" And they answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus said to them, notice what he says, "I am he." Why is that so important? I am. Remember that. Where else was that restated? I am he. And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he had said these things, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus Christ." And Jesus said, "I told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way." And they saying that the saying might be fulfilled, which he spoke, "Of those whom you give me, I have lost none." So it's interesting that he answered, "I am he. I am he." Those are the same that "I am" was probably the same message he gave to Moses when he asked, "Who should he speak to? Who should he say is coming to Egypt? Who should he say sent me?" Let's go back and read that in Exodus 3, verse 13 and 14. Exodus 13 and 14. Exodus 3, 13 and 14. This is the account of the burning bush. Remember, Moses was tending his flocks. And all of a sudden this bush is burning and it's never consumed. Moses comes over, he sees this, and he thinks, "What in the world's that?" Then when he gets there, Moses, verse 4, "So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the burning bush and said, 'Moses, Moses,' he said, 'Here I am.' Then he said to him, 'Do not draw near to this place. Take off your sandals from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, 'I am the God of your father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.' And Moses hid his face, and he was afraid to look upon God." Then he tells him what he should do. Then we'll drop down to verse 13. Then Moses says he was supposed to go back to Egypt and get the children of Israel out. And verse 13, "Then Moses said to God, 'Indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they say to me, what is his name? What shall I say?' And notice God says to Moses, 'I am who I am.' And he said, 'Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you.'" So we see that when he responded to the, and they even fell backwards, they must have recognized or something was there when he said, "I am he." He's referring not only that he was Jesus Christ of Nazareth, but he was also the I am of the Old Testament. And they recognized that. In John 10, verse 30, let's go to John 10, verse 30. He healed a man on the Sabbath day. And the Pharisees were upset at him. I think this is the account. No, this was the one about the shepherds. But we'll start in verse 25, or let's go to verse 24. "Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, 'How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly.' And Jesus answered them, 'I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do is my Father's name. They bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I have said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I gave them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one else is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand.'" Now notice what he said. Notice what the Jews said. "Then the Jews stood up to stone, take him out of my hand. Verse 30. I and my Father are one. And when he said, made that statement, the Jews took up stones against him to stone him. Why? Because he was saying he was God. Verse 32, Jesus answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? And notice what the Jews answer and say, for a good works we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. And Jesus answered them, if it is not written in your law, is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? And if you call them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do the things you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe that my Father is in me and I in you. Therefore they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hands. So they wanted to destroy him because he said he was God. He was a God. He tells us that the Father and Jesus Christ were both divine. He was saying, I am. In verse 30, look what it says in verse 30 again. I am. He says, I and my Father are one. It's the same thing as saying, I am. I am that God of the Old Testament. And Jesus understood what he was saying. He was saying, I am the I am who spoke to Moses. Let's go to John 5 and verse 10. John 5 and verse 10. This is the one about the Sabbath. Notice what he says here. The Jews therefore said to him, who was cured, it is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry out your bed. So let's go back and we'll read about what he did. There was a certain, in verse 5, there was a certain man was there who had infirmity 38 years. They were at this pool in verse 2. At the shepherd's gate, a pool at Bethesda, verse 2. They had five porches. So he had this certain man who had infirmity for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him, verse 6, he saw him lying there and knew that he already had been in that condition a long time. He said to him, do you want to be made well? And the sick man answered him and said, sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred. But while I'm coming, another steps in before me. So he couldn't get there fast enough. And Jesus said to him, rise up, take up your bed and walk. And immediately man was made well, looked up, took up his bed and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him who was cured, it is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed. Then he answered them, he who made me well said to take up your bed and walk. And they answered him, who is the man who said it? Take up your bed and walk. But the one who was healed did not know who he was, for Jesus hadn't withheld it, and the multitude being in that place. Afterwards Jesus found him in the temple, and said to him, see, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest you worse things come upon you. The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. For this reason the Jews persecuted him, sought to kill him, because he had done this on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he had not only broken the Sabbath in their eyes, but he also had said that the God was his Father and made him equal with God. Then Jesus answered and said, more surely I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and will show him greater works than those that you may marvel. And for as the Father raised the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he wills. So, for the Father judges no one and has committed all judgments to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as he honors the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. More surely I say to you, he who hears my words, believes in him who sent me, has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. So He healed a man on the Sabbath. He healed on the Sabbath, and that the Father and him were one. They worked together. Now let's read verse 25. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming now and is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. So God, Christ, the Son of God, is going to call those from the grave. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given authority to execute judgment, also because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming which all who are in the graves will hear his voice, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, and come forth, those who have done good to resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. So he had both power. Christ was given the power to also be the one who resurrect those from the dead. Let's jump over to John 6, verse 40. One page. He says, it just restates that, and this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. So that was referring to Christ. Talked about him being the bread. And then John 8, verse 53 and 58. John 8, 53 through 58. And the Jews were all upset at him here because of the way he responded. Let's start in verse 52. Then the Jews said to him, "Now you know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and you say, 'If anyone keeps my word, he shall never taste death.'" Verse 53. "Are you greater than our father Abraham, who is dead and the prophets are dead? Who do you make yourself out to be?" And Jesus answered. Notice what he says. "If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I have known him. And if I say I do not know him, I should be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day." So Abraham was looking forward to this time when Jesus would become the Redeemer for all mankind. He saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old. Have you seen Abraham?" So they didn't understand. And Jesus said to them, notice what he said, "Most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." And that refers back to Moses. They understood immediately when he said that, because look what their response was. He was that I am of when he talked to Moses. Verse 59, "Then they took up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out from the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by." They knew who he was when he said, "I am." "Moses, most assuredly I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." They understood what he was saying. He existed before Abraham. He said he was the I am that talked to Moses in the burning bush. He was the God of Israel. He was the ones that led them out of Egypt. He was the God of the Old Testament. It's interesting. You think about, you bring that back and you relate to it. Think about the time he was with Abraham when he came to visit him with his two angelic beings. There were three of them. And Abraham made a big meal for him. And he said to him, "I'm concerned. I'm going to do something about Sodom." And he talked to them and he said, and then remember Abraham says to him, "Well, if there's 50 righteous in Sodom, we destroy it." "No," God said, "I won't." "Well, don't get upset with me. How about 40? Then he goes down to 30. And eventually gets down to 10. And Christ says, who became Christ, the I am, says, "I won't destroy it for 10. So he was with Abraham there. He was the one that decided the fate of Sodom and Gomorrah at that time. He was the one who was with the children of Israel when they crossed the Red Sea. He was the God then, and he became the Savior for them and all of mankind. He's always existed. He was with God the Father forever. He was the creator of the universe, the earth, and mankind, angelic beings, and He is the sustainer of it as well. We see that Jesus Christ was a man, but he preexisted as the Word with God the Father, and he was the sustainer of the creation. He also existed with God the Father himself. He was the God of the Old Testament, and he was the I Am who spoke to Moses, Abraham, Noah, and David. I was very encouraged when I did this study, because if you look at the Muslim beliefs, they say Jesus Christ was only a prophet, just a man. And there's other religions out there that say different things, that they realize that he was some great individual, but they look to him as only a man. He was way more than a man. He was the I Am. He was with God from the very beginning, and he was the one that created all things. And he became our Redeemer and Savior. An awesome fate that he went, a terrible thing he went through, but an awesome gift he gave to us. I was very encouraged and uplifted by this study of who and what Jesus Christ was and is today. I'd like to look at one final scripture in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 1 to 4. Look how Paul makes a statement here. 2 Corinthians 10, 1 to 4. Now I, Paul, 1 Corinthians 10, 1 to 4. Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who is present and lowly among you, but being absent and bold towards you. So Paul writes this in 2 Corinthians 10, 1 to 4. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be beholden with that confidence of which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. So some thought that they walked the flesh. He said that's not so. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For our weapons of warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God for putting down strongholds. Let's go to 1 Corinthians. It must be 1 Corinthians. Yes, it's 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1 to 4. No, it's 1 Corinthians 10. I don't know why I got that all mixed up. I don't know. 1 Corinthians 10, 1 to 4. Yes, that's it. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware. That's 1 Corinthians 10, 1 to 4. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, all were baptized in Moses, the cloud, and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. So we see that Christ was the rock. He should be our rock as well. He was the creator and sustainer of all the universe, and he became our Savior. A great gift he gave to us. He is our great Redeemer, and we look forward to being with our elder brother sometime in the near future.